This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina is still reeling from Hurricane Florence. The death toll from the storm has risen to at least 37 people in three states, 27 fatalities so far reported in North Carolina. There are roughly 10,000 people in shelters. Governor Roy Cooper urged those who have evacuated to stay put. The governor also says 16 rivers in the state are at major flood stage and over 1,000 roads are closed. The storm also overwhelmed farms where animals were being raised for market. The North Carolina Department of Agriculture says almost 3.5 million chickens and more than 5,000 hogs died in the flooding from Florence. And the AP is reporting that more than 5 million gallons of partially treated sewage has spilled into the Cape Fear River after a power plant went out. Went out at the treatment plant. Wilmington is still mostly cut off by floodwaters. Rachel Lewis Hilburn is the news director at WHQR in Wilmington and joins us now. Welcome back, Rachel.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
What is it like in Wilmington right now?
Well, you know, it's almost, I guess, two sides of the same coin. We're looking at bright, sunshiny skies. There are a lot of roads where the debris has been cleared out of the way and people are freely and safely traveling around. And yet, we're still looking at the possibility of rivers cresting, more flooding to come. We're hearing from emergency management that widespread flooding across the Cape Fear region is still possible despite the fact that rainfall has ended. There is this excessive runoff, and many towns and communities are still flooded. And officials are saying, we got a statement from Brunswick County that just says, we are continuing to ask citizens who evacuated not to return yet. So many roads in Brunswick County are not just blocked or flooded, but they're washed out or structurally damaged, and many remain impassable. They're also talking about limited supplies of gas and food and water in many of these areas. And so first responders are focused on getting supplies to the folks who've been here and not having the additional load of people coming back.
You have, we've been looking at the situation with regard to power. Do you have power at the station? And what about power restoration around the city?
Power restoration efforts are going along pretty well, considering. As of this morning, the majority of Duke Energy's customers in Brunswick were still without power. That was 8,000 out of about 15,000. Another utility, which serves far more people in Brunswick County, has restored power to most of its customers. New Hanover County made progress. About 62% of customers in New Hanover County now have power. And so the remaining folks who are still without power includes WHQR, but, you know, we're now able to travel the roads within the city of Wilmington and sleep and shower at home. Mm. Pender County has about 60% of their customers restored.
Well, and as you suggest, you have been reporting on New Hanover and Brunswick counties. What kinds of stories are you hearing, individual stories and particular stories in those places?
We have curfews in place in all three counties, and that's, you know, there have been isolated reports of looting and some scuffles that have gone on. You know, I heard a story from a state trooper about people jumping the line at a local fast food restaurant, and that started a little bit of a scuffle. But that's not what most of the anecdotes are like. It really is neighbors helping neighbors. I was in line at a grocery store yesterday that had opened for a limited number of hours and was letting in just a few people at a time. And people in that line were so polite and helpful to each other. And there was, you know, there was one man who was helping another elderly man get a small cart that he could actually handle. And, it was clear those two didn't know each other. And I spoke to one man who had completely run through his good food. The rest of the food he had was spoiled because he hadn't had power for 6 days at that point. And the next people that I tried to talk to in line just shook their heads and said, you know, we're not suffering compared to that guy. And so we just have nothing to tell you. We have generator power. I spoke to someone this morning who walked around the neighborhood with his wife, and they helped people put tarps on roofs. And as you suggest, this is not just a story that we're covering, but this is personal for us, too. All of the staff at the station have dealt with challenges from Hurricane Florence. And when I drove home last night, I pulled into my driveway and saw that my neighbors had mowed and edged my lawn.
So this is certainly a situation that brings out the best and sometimes the worst in all of us in these extreme circumstances. And then there are people for whom, you know, help is a requirement and so urgently needed. And I understand that there was a HUD apartment building for senior citizens that had to be evacuated. Is that right?
Yes, I guess Hurricane Florence did some pretty devastating damage to the roof of that building, which is in downtown Wilmington. Some of those residents went to family members. Some had no other place to go and were taken to shelters, more than 90 of them. We don't know yet when that roof can be restored and when those folks will be able to move back in. And so soon we're going to be getting into the question of what do we do with these longer-term evacuees? How do we house them?
And as you suggest, there are some supply lines and roads that are now open. Supplies are getting in. You've been able to visit a couple of places where people are handing out food and supplies. Where is that, and what is it like in those places?
In New Hanover, Brunswick, and Pender County, there are these points of distribution scattered around. They're offering food at some of these places, meals ready to eat in some cases, water. They're offering tarps for people's roofs because certainly it's going to be a long time before we can get, you know, repairs out to all of the homes that were damaged in this storm. But those are going pretty well. I think more are opening up today. More supplies have come in. And we heard from the mayor of Wilmington yesterday that there are some routes into the city now, but it was, you know, it was sort of cautious optimism because he was saying with the rivers cresting, those routes could go away just as quickly as we announced that.
Well, and again, with everybody urging people who have evacuated to stay home, that's always a dicey thing to be able to say because you don't want to encourage people to use those routes to get to their homes. Those are for supply lines only at this point, I would think.
Exactly. Well, yes. And on social media, of course, it's just a constant barrage of what route have you found from Western North Carolina back to the East Coast? What have you found from Georgia, from Virginia? And people are sharing those routes. But officials keep saying that can change at any moment.
Right.
Just last night, two Horry County Sheriff's deputies were transporting a couple of detainees to, I think it was a mental health facility. And the vehicle was traveling on Highway 76 about a half mile from the Little PD River. It was overtaken by floodwaters. They say the waters rose so rapidly. The deputies wound up getting rescued. Nobody could reach the two detainees, and they drowned. And, of course, there's an investigation going on. But it's just emblematic of how quickly vehicles can get overtaken and how dangerous it is when there's that flood risk.
Right, and that's in South Carolina. But, of course, rivers don't really honor political boundaries like that. So let's talk about the highest risk. Do you know where the places we're at highest risk for flooding?
We always hear about downtown Wilmington because, you know, we see nuisance flooding all throughout the year, and that is Water Street and around the battleship that we have on the Cape Fear River. Meteorologists earlier this week from the National Weather Service were telling me that they don't necessarily have a frame of reference for this because they're expecting widespread flooding of a magnitude that's greater than Floyd and Matthew. And so they say areas that have never flooded before will flood. Can't tell you exactly what those areas might be.
And if we've learned anything from Matthew, it is to expect the unexpected. So it's good to try to stay, you know, stay up to date on this stuff. But as you suggest, it's very difficult to know for sure. So, again, stay put. What kind of support are you getting from FEMA now and from state officials right now?
Well, we're hearing about counties that have been declared disaster areas, and, you know, all of those numbers are getting out where people can file for some kind of hurricane relief. I think, you know, it's good that information is coming out. There are a lot of people who are still just focusing on the nuts and bolts, like getting their water service back. There are parts of Brunswick County that don't have water service right now. They're waiting for a part to get flown in from Texas. And as soon as that gets here, they'll have that restored. So That feels like another step along the way. We're looking at we're just getting damage reports from Bald Head Island. They did an aerial tour yesterday, and the mayor of Bald Head Island said that he hadn't seen damage like this on the island in his 35 years of being there. The Bellamy Mansion Museum in Wilmington, which is this beautiful example of antebellum architecture in downtown Wilmington. And it's a place where they have original slave quarters. You know, visitors can hear the stories of the Bellamy family and those of the artisans who built the home on the eve of the Civil War, enslaved workers who lived on the property. That museum lost a good portion of its roof. Water went through the ceilings, floors, and walls. So we're still just kind of gathering all those reports of damage around the region.
Rachel, thank you so much for your reporting.
You're welcome, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Rachel Lewis-Hilburn is the news director at WHQR in Wilmington. And, of course, we've got more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, they didn't like the way black women were portrayed in the movies, particularly films that came to be known as blaxploitation flicks. We'll talk about that film and the documentary that looked at a 1976 film that few people saw but may still be having an impact today. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.